It's 20 minutes away. We'll try and run through. Well, at least the list. We'll see what we have time to explain in more detail. So this year, the first year, we wanted a holiday share. So as you know, right, computer, all the different sort of charges that come out from year to year, and then we can go through them individually. So I'm going to run through the list very quickly, and then we can go through each one. We'll see how many we get through tonight. So number one, is what sort of dishes can I use when I get to when I rent? We're talking about renting a Goyshe flat, some holidays, whatever it is, and then all these other others come into account. One has to think about them before you get there. Because what normally happens is you get there and you start calling up, can I use this? I thought I can use it. I thought I could carry here. I haven't got a hot plate. What should I do? And normally the shadows come in, half pounds or shovels, and whatever your foods. Would I have food or not have food? The Chacham Eina Barosho, give you a list of 30 things, work out if you're booked already, you haven't booked, and you can get there, Ragua, you know what's going to happen, what's expected. So regarding the kitchen, can I use the oven? Number one. Number two, can I use the kettle, the microwave, a toaster to make toast, not cheese toaster, a normal toast. Do I have to cover the countertops, or can I use them without covering them? Do I have to cover the sink? Can I use a hob, whatever it is? Is it gas, is it induction, is it glass? What is it? Can I use it without the cover it? Now, if I want to buy a kaolin on a holiday, I want to buy a new barbecue because we can't use a barbecue outside, do I have to cover it? If I haven't got a place to cover it, well, are there any ideas how to get around it? That's nine. Moving on to Hilchos Shabbos. Shabbos Kodesh, when you go to schlep with your blessed from Valdman's and having to have a cholos or hot water Shabbos morning. That's, yeah, then you have electric sensors, I mean a few Airbnbs and the toilet lights only have a sensor, there's no switches. You open the door, light goes on, you close the door, and you get, if you don't think about these things before Shabbos, you get there and hey, what are we going to do now? Or, 2 years ago I was in Bournemouth, and up to my father's flat, there was Khoshavi staying there, and he gave my father a key before Shabbos, and he said, if you don't mind, please come across and open the door for me. My father has a minion, so he said, please come across Shabbos Milchamarev to open the door. So it sounds a bit strange. So he said, yeah, on the inside, to get out, there's only a green button. And to come in, they have a key. So I asked him, do you want me to come over like you would be in jail the whole Shabbos? He said, no. During the afternoon, I don't mind waiting 5-10 minutes for a goy to come, and I'll go out with him. But to wait 5-10 minutes for Shabbos Milchamarev, I might miss the whole minion. So if I'm asking you for a favour, come over again. You didn't realise this till you got there that, hey, 1 minute, I'm even going to get into the building on Shabbos. And then there's fridges, yeah? Most of us have magnets on the fridges here at home, and suddenly when we go on holiday, and the fridge doesn't suddenly become mutter. You've got the same issue as you have it on a normal fridge, and you can have a fridge in your holiday house. The lights, the sensors, everything that goes on. Carrying, here we have an Erev. You haven't got Erev there, you need a shower belt. It's plain simple things, if we don't think about it beforehand, then you can run into serious issues. And there's a lot of eating and drinking in the garden. There's a lot of shrub and oil. On Shabbos, not allowed to eat and drink in the garden for Chashash. I might come, your water might spill. Water the grass on Shabbos. So on holidays, we have good weather. Shabbos morning, you know, prime time to eat outside in the garden, have a nice kiddush, or even eat outside.
Only on the grass?
On the grass. You have to take into account. Are you allowed to do it? You're not allowed to do it. And before that, am I allowed to carry in the garden? Is it a joint property? Is it not a joint property? Can I make a rubber calteris? Can I not make a rubber calteris? That's that. And now depending where your house is, Tchum Shabbos. How far we got to walk? If you're on a house by itself, then all you have is 2,000 amos from the garden gate and around the circle. If you're in a town, then you have until the town, edge of town, and from there, 2,000 amos. how to measure where the edge of the town is, because it's a misconception with lots of people. Let's say you rented a house on the outskirts of town, and you can see one house next to you, so you'll think that that house next to you, you can't see any houses further than that, so you think that's the last house. But in reality, how do you work out where the edge of town is? You have to go on Google Maps. You take the last house on all four sides, and you draw a square. Yes, so very nice. Let's say this is my house, the computer here is my house, and this is the last house I can see. So I think that's the edge of town. But 500 meters down the road, there might be a house further out that side, and further out that side. So when you square the line out, it'll be much further out than this house, because it works, doesn't go house by house, it works with a square, with a line. So therefore, for Shabbos, one has to go on Google Maps, is the easiest way. See, the furthest house is out, and from there you have 2,000 numbers, which is about 2,000 steps. And if you go out of it, you're in serious issues. You have to stay there the whole Shabbos within 4 hours. So it's also not something to play around with.
But you're saying, you just mentioned 500 meters to the next house?
No.
From the last house?
Yeah. No.
You mentioned 500 meters?
No, that way. If you can't see the house,
yeah, but 500 meters, is that still included?
Yeah, because it could be that still part of the town.
No, that's a bonus, the 500 metres the house away. It's a bonus, yeah, so you've got more space to move.
Yeah, how do you square off a town? So you have all the houses all dusted all over the show.
I'm just asking, you're saying you go to 500 metres away from the last house?
No, I'm not saying I'm not saying...
You're including the last house that's 500 metres away from the rest of the town.
I'm saying, how do you work out where your green line is?
With the tom starts. Where will the tom
start?
Okay.
So the tom
starts. And then the tom starts.
That's right. You have to square off the town. And when you square off the town, you can only see that on the map.
Yeah.
From when you've squared off the town, that's where 2,000 metres start. 2,000 amas start. Yeah. Which is 2,000 feet. Very, very importantly, yeah, in the middle of the Lake District.
I expected 2,000 amos to be 1 kilometer, so it's probably
4,000 feet. It's not 2,000 feet. 2,000 amos.
No,
it's about 2,000 steps. I'm sorry, I didn't mean feet. It's about 2,000 steps. Sorry. Thank you for correcting me. You're in Wales, in Spain, wherever you are, and you haven't got a calendar. What can they do? Can they check online what time sunset is, and what time nightfall is? What you're forgetting is, so you'll know what time Shki is and what time now. When it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, you have a halacha of Tosfos Shabbos. So very nice, nightfall, you can tell your wife, yeah, Malacha, nightfall is 9:22, you can do Malacha 9:22, but you're forgetting, there's a halacha of Tosfos Shabbos. So although with the Raisa, Tosfos Shabbos is only a mashal, but all that can take on at least 4 minutes, therefore you have to plus 4 minutes on the way out, and also 4 minutes on the way in. They just thing to take into account. Now moving on to kashrus, yeah? So I hear a lot of times that this person says that's kosher, and this person says that is, and his grandmother says that all French baguettes are kosher. And there's lots of different theories flying around. And when it comes down to it, when you try to find out the basis of all these rumors and stories, not really much there. For example, I've heard plenty of times every year, all French baguettes are kosher.
Traditional bakeries only.
What is it?
From traditional bakery, because that's the only one which are compelled to be stricter regulations.
Okay. So, all...
If it's written traditional, then they have to. If not, they can do anything from a supermarket or an independent
traditional bakery that officially selling French baguettes. Yeah?
And you can even find some pastisserie if you ask a local rabbi which one he goes to light.
Yeah? Fine. I'm just giving you an example.
Yes.
A traditional bakery, it's got rules, regulations, and you ask him what you make it, and he tells you, and he says, look, I don't believe you. Let me see your ingredients. And he shows you flour, water, oil, and sugar, whatever it is, 100% kosher. It's a machah, yeah? They're forgetting there's one other ingredient. What is it?
Yeah, that's the thing. Traditional bakery, but you won't put fats on the trays to make sure it gets out easy.
How do they know?
That's also in the regulation. He has to abide by law. It's he's supposed not to put anything. Otherwise, he cannot have a type of traditional on top.
So you're relying on him for these all things. Yeah?
Usually, if they want to do their own stuff, they drop the title there, and they can also charge different price, and they can make all kind of bread that they want.
I'm just repeating what I heard from Moraine, you know, who's the head of London Bezdin, who gave me a full list of things why passepartout nowadays is not so common, because of all different types of ingredients. And one of the things he told me about baguettes is very nice, it might be cross ingredients, but the releasing agent, it's called, which is the one to cover the things with, it might be. He runs out.
That's why you cannot get your baguette from any bakery, because you don't know how they...
Release agent?
Releasing agent.
Is what?
It could be from animal fat.
Animal fat.
That's how it comes off so easily. In regards to passepartout, whether one is allowed to or not allowed to, and there's a very interesting truth from Ramon Stenbuch, who wants to say that any passepartout, to make it into passing soil, you make it into toast, and you've changed it into a new thing. So you made it because by passepartout, the Shulchan Aruch says, as long as you've made it, even if it's 99% baked, if you put 1% in it, that's the Shulchan Aruch, that's called passing soil. So Ramon Steinbuch Shlita wants to say that the same thing applies. You have 100% baked, I make it even better, and I make it into toast. And it also makes pastoral. But why lots of them argue on him is because why make toast?
Why is it changed?
It's a finished product.
It's not changed, it's just bread. It's just gone.
Exactly.
Why is it better?
Why is it better?
What have you done to it? Same trait in it.
There's nothing to it.
Yeah. So lots of Achronim argue on which time I said that you can't say it's making it better. But most of us don't like toast, yeah? It's not making you better.
Exactly.
You have stale bread.
Regarding
passepartout, whether one is allowed to buy it, I know it's on record and I might get a shot for it, but Shulchan Aruch, in a place where, this is a clear black and white Shulchan Aruch, so it's not me, it's not my chumras or colours, it's Shulchan Aruch. In a place where one can't buy bread, passepartout, then lechatchila, one may buy passepartout. What's the difference between passepartout and passepartout? Sorry, what's the difference between passakrum and passepartout? Passakrum means a bread baked by a goyisha private person. We have a chashash of chasnus, where I might come to marry a daughter, therefore chazav asadit. Passepartout means that it's baked by a bakery and it's sold, and therefore there's no chashash of chasnus, and that's why it's mutter when?
No,
either,
no.
Sorry?
If there's no
pasta
the either there's no pasta roll, or it's a type of bread I can't get in a Yiddish bakery. Yes, if they were selling a specialty type of bread, if I get, and I know 100% is kosher, and I can't buy baguettes in a Yiddish bakery, I would be allowed to go to buy from a Goyisha shop. Why? Because it's a better bread. In regards to whether it's cheaper or not cheaper, the Archer's Hobbits, Warburtons, yeah. Tesco, you go to any Tesco in England, and you sell Hobbits and Warburtons, one of them has SKA, one of them has KLBD, both passepartout. Now they're much cheaper than obviously than Yiddish bread because they're making them commercially. So, regards to pricing, whether one is allowed to rely on passepartout just for the pricing, Shabbat, I think it's a Kaf HaChaim. Or Benish Chai, one of them said it has to be a significant type of, not going there for just 10-20p, you haven't got a heter, but a significant increase in price, you would have a heter to buy a pasta straw. Now,
in regards to the difference of price is much more than 20p.
Kavachaim says, in Baghdad, where he used to work in Baghdad, on Matzah Pesach, Tavachan says on Matzah Pesach, they all used to go to the Goyisha bakeries. Why? Because there wasn't enough Yiddish bread around, because it was so early after Pesach. If they all went to the Yiddish bakeries, and there won't be enough. So obviously what would you do? You'd put the prices sky high and all the that's how it goes when supply and demand. So that's why they weren't allowed to go and buy, they all went to buy their bread and the goji bakery. That's what Kavach Haim says. So in regard to, everyone always asks, do I have to take with bread or not have to take with bread? So, again, it depends who you talk to and how from you want to be, or how machmi you want to be. If you're going to, say, someone talking about this year, he's going to a holiday house, he has a fridge freezer, it only has three drawer freezer. And he's going there for 10 days and he's got a family of, whatever it is, 6-7 kids, he's doing about 8 people, and to schlep with bread, each one is a big thing, for 8 days, you won't even have space in his freezer just for the bread alone. Forget all the meat and everything else he's taking with. So how's he going to have to go to Tesco and buy bread? So what's the answer?
Yes,
because there's no pasta straw, and even if he takes his bread, schleps it on his roof bag, by the time he gets 3 days out, it'll be still bread.
Providing the ingredients are okay.
He goes to Tesco, he buys
homeless bread.
Or Warburtons.
Yeah, they know it's
and then you find it's got hefshers. The hefsher
is the oil as well, no problem. Which no, part? I'm saying the oil use of the place.
It's got hefshers.
It's got hefshers.
But bread without hefshers abroad in France or Italy or Spain?
You can't. You have to know all the ingredients.
Even over there's a big supermarket. Same thing.
There's a commercial told me, a commercial powder, that one of the issues is that's called the manna of the fat, which means that lots of negotiated bakeries, they put in milk in the dough in order that when they bake it, it becomes a shiny brown colour. Yes, so very nice is plain bread, but there's a drop of milk in it, so kalamakam. You might be eating your very nice looking bread, which is just bread, but on the side it's got milk in it, or there's lots of different other things that can go wrong. 2 minutes left, so let's quickly run through about davening, about making a brocha. If you're in your shorts and you want to make a brocha, you're in the swimming pool or by the beach, you want to make a brocha. If you're having shorts and a cup or a cap is good enough, say Hashem Hashem. Mishabru says, you can be machmi, you should get in top. But in the halacha, even if your chest, you have a bare chest, you're still allowed to make a brocha. When it comes to davening, because davening is a word of hichon, and you have to stand in front of Hashem, and you can't daven if your chest is on the show.
Shorts is okay. Shorts is okay for davening.
One second about Mizrach.
You have a smartphone,
it's fine. And when you're diving on the train, the plane, and it's not comfortable for you, or you're going to have less kavanah by standing up, and the chadchillah, Chabad says, you should stand sitting down. Why? Because tefillah, the moral says the ikka is kavanah, and if you're going to have less kavanah by standing, because you're scared you're going to fall over, or you're not comfortable, if people are watching you, then better to sit down. Perfect tefillah is there, if you have. Number 27, the birth of the goyimel. 28, by washing your hands. For Hamoitzi, if you haven't got a cup, now all it is, then we're at the school, yeah, just put it in the bag and you sort it, yeah? Don't touch the bread. Not true. When is it true? It's only true if forward 72 minutes can't find water. Basically, to wash your hands for Hamoitzi, you have to have two things. You have to have water, you have to have a kli and kerf gavra. Which means it has to be from your pouring and you have to have a kli. So to put your tap on, you might have kerf gavra, you haven't got a kli. But if you have, let's say, you want to have something like a chasna, you have like a big bin and a tap at the bottom, that's a kli and a kerf gavra. Yeah? But a tap, you haven't got that. Now to wash a mutz, you have to have both. So therefore, you have to know that if you have a bottle of water, you don't have to have a cup. You have a bottle of water, open the lid, pour on your hands, it's a kli. So in order to get around washing and not touching the bread, you have to be the 72 minutes forward on the journey, there's no water, and back 18 minutes, or to the sides, which is highly unlikely wherever you are in the world. 72 minutes in front of you not to have a bottle of water, or 80 minutes behind also, you have to drive back. And if that's the case, if you haven't got that, then you can come on to this head of train.